see all of your faces tonight. I love hearing all your praises. Why? Because that shows me that God is moving. God's not just moving just in the church, but He's moving in your life. And that is so, it's so encouraging to hear. Amen. Why? Because God deserves all the praise. This really at times should be filled with the praises of God, because God is moving. He is doing mighty things. And there's something I think we need to do is when we need to give a hand to our praise team. It's been doing this on Wednesday. I've come a couple practices just to help them out with the sound, and it's not simple. It's difficult, right? It takes time and effort, and they're putting this in. Why? To glorify God for the talents that God's given them. And this is something we prayed and fasted for, church. Amen? And we're watching it happen before our very eyes. Some people would say, oh, that's a simple thing, but we've been trying to do this very thing for 20-plus years, and we're seeing it happen. We're seeing it happen. Psalms 18, 30 through 31 says this: as for God, His way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in Him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? God is perfect in all of His ways. There's nothing. He is perfect. He's flawless. And His word is flawless. You can trust in His word because it never comes back void. It's solid. It's something to be trusted in because it will give you the things in life you need. The most important things in life. It will give you salvation and eternal life, and it will bring peace and comfort and all those things that only God can give. He's perfect in all of His ways, and there's so many attributes of God. We could spend a whole service just talking about all the attributes of God, His forgiveness and the peace, and He's all powerful and He heals, and the list goes on and on and on and on. But I want to focus on something tonight, is that God is omniscient. Some of you are like, well, what on earth does that word mean? God is omniscient. I'll make it really simple for us. Is God knows all things, and He sees all things, but it's much more deeper than that. Not only does He see us now, but He saw us in the past, and He sees us in the future. He sees everything. He sees everything, church. That's someone that you can trust in, amen? The God who knows all things, who sees all things, that ought to be comforting for us, that we serve the God who knows all things and sees all things. And I want to ask this question tonight. Are there answers you need in your life? Is there something you're seeking out in your life? And are you seeking the one who knows it? Are you seeking the one who has the answer? Are you seeking the God of heaven? Daniel chapter 2 is where we'll be tonight. I'm a little tired tonight, to be honest with you. Jimmy has been working me like a dog. If anyone has ever told you that a pastoring job is an office job, they're lying to you, because it's not. I'm not in my office very often. We are redoing the floor up in Jimmy's office because it was like an ice skating rink every time you'd walk up there, because all the floorboards would move back and forth, and now we're finally getting it to a decent place. But my legs hurt and my back hurts. But the Lord is still good. But I hope this message tonight gives us confidence to trust in the living God. This is what we need every day of our life, is confidence that we can put in the Lord Almighty. You can trust Him. You can trust Him with your very life. Why? Because not only does He know all things and He sees all things, but He wants the best for you. Amen? He wants the best for you in your life. That's someone who's going to fight on your side every single day. Maybe you feel like, there's no one fighting for me. There's no one on my side. But let me tell you, if you trust in the Lord Almighty, He's on your side. He's seeking out the best for your life. So let's pray this tonight and ask the Lord what He wants to do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this night that we can worship and praise You. Thank You for the praise band leading us in worship, because You, Lord, are worthy of every single thing. You've given talents and gifts to everyone in this church. Lord, help us use them in every single way possible to glorify You in this house tonight. Lord, as we open up Your word tonight, let it speak to us, convict us, show us where we need to go, guide us. And Lord, if there's people here tonight who are struggling in their life, Lord, reveal to them the answers that they seek. Because only You, Lord, know all those things. Lord, help us, because we know Your word won't come back void. We know that if we listen to it and we apply it to our life, it's going to change our life. Lord, let your word change us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. See, we have to understand a little bit of context tonight about the Israelites and about Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, again, is where we're going to be tonight. The Israelites have been taken into captivity. Why? Because they have disobeyed God. They have fallen short. They have done evil in the eyes of God. And God said, I'm going to take my hand off of you. And he allowed the Babylonians to come in and capture them. And when the Babylonians came in, they began to take the people into exile, to make them slaves. They began to assimilate them into the Babylonian culture. What did they do? They had them adopt their language. They kind of put them in the high ranks in the official courts, and they changed their names to different names, all sorts of things. And then we see in chapter 1, you see this part where the king tells them that they got to eat these certain foods, and they're foods that they weren't supposed to eat, unclean food. And Daniel goes before one of the officials and says, I don't want to eat these. Can we just eat vegetables? And the king, and the official's like, I don't really know about this. The king really wants you to look good. He wants you to look strong. He wants you to be the best of the best. So I'm not sure. But Daniel says, well, give us 10 days. Just give us 10 days. And I promise you, within these 10 days, we're going to look good. We're going to look good. And then after those 10 days, they did look good. They looked better than everybody else. And the king took notice. And he began to put Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, into high positions. Because he understood that, man, these guys, there's something special about these guys. And that brings us to chapter 2 in Daniel. It says, in the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled, and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means. Then the astrologers answered the king, may the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret. See, we already see this moment where this king has had this dream, and it ain't just a simple dream. This is a dream that messed him up. This is a dream that really got to him. It said he couldn't even sleep. You ever had a dream like that where it just messes you up? You wake up and you're like, maybe you're sweating and you can't even get back to sleep anymore. You're like, what on earth is going on? Maybe some of you, I know, maybe you had like a demonic dream or just things like that. It can really just mess with your head. And this seems to be what is happening to the king. And dreams can come and they can rock our lives. Don't think something's, sometimes we think dreams are simple. Sometimes, man, dreams can really rock our lives. Rock our lives, mess us up, make us restless, make us afraid, make us confused. That's where the king is. But what, the king makes a mistake. And it makes sense because we got to understand this king is not a godly king. This king is not this is an evil king. This is a worldly king. So who does he go to? He goes to the world. He goes to the astrologers, he goes to the sorcerers, the enchanters, the magicians, he goes to the wise men to seek advice. You know believers still do that today? You know there's believers that are still seeking the advice and counsel of the world when they should know that they serve the God who knows all things. They seek the counsel and we think that our life is just going to just be great when we're seeking a worldly advice, but it will never be great when you seek the advice of the world, when you seek counsel from the world, and we're going to find that these people, the world doesn't have all the answers. The world doesn't have all the answers in your life. And let me tell you, even believers today, they're still going to the stars. They're still going to witchcraft and things like that. Let me just warn us tonight is that those are evil in the sight of God. What is it really saying? It's saying that God, you don't have all the answers. When you go to the world, when you go to the magic and witchcraft and those things, you're telling God, you don't have all the answers. But God does have all the answers. He's created the world. He's established it. He's set it all into place. Of course, he knows all things. Amen, church? God does have all the answers. In verse 5, let's see what the people say. As he says, the king replied to the astrologers, this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will cut you into pieces and your houses turn into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me. Once more, they replied, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will interpret it. But the king answered, I am certain that you are trying to gain time because you realize that this is what I firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is only one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then tell me the dream, and I will know you can interpret it for me. See, now the king, he understands something, is that these people, some of them are liars. Some of them don't tell the truth. And can you imagine these people for a moment? Wait, what did he say? He says, not only do we have to interpret it, but we got to tell them what the dream is. How on earth are we supposed to tell? They even thought, maybe we misheard them. Maybe we didn't hear the king right. So they said it again. Just tell us the dream and then we'll interpret it. But the king wasn't having any of that. He said, no, if you say that you can see gods, if you say that you can speak to the gods, you have wisdom beyond all knowledge and all those things, because that's exactly what these people claim to be, then you should be able to tell me what dream I had. This is what the king is. He's planning to weed them out. He's planning to weed them out. And let me just tell you, this isn't an empty threat. This king is a wicked king. When he says he's going to cut them into pieces and kill them, he means it. And the people understood that. Is that this is what this just shows us this character of the king. This king was a bad king. He wasn't a good king. He did evil. And really, he didn't care too much about his people. Right? He cared about himself. And maybe you're like, that seems harsh. Well, you're right. It is pretty harsh. But remember, these men were supposed to be men that saw into the other realms and the spiritual realms. And they were supposed to be able to tell the king exactly what he was supposed to do. The king is calling them out. He said, if you claim to know and see the things of God, then tell me them. Verse 10 says, the astrologers answered the king, there is no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, have ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, as they do not live among humans. This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and the men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. What is happening here? We see the king ask really the people to do a very impossible thing. And that is exactly what these men tell the king, right? They say, what you ask, it's impossible. And maybe this was the wisest thing these men have ever said in their life. Maybe they never got anything right in their life, but this may be the wisest thing, because there's only one person, there's only one God, the true living God, who can see into the mind and the heart of people. That's the God of heaven. That's the Lord of lords. That's the King of kings. He's the only one that can see into the heart of a man. He's the only one that can see into the mind of the man. The people are like, King, no one has ever asked us to do this. No one's ever asked us to do something as crazy as what you're asking. So what happens is the king became angry. He became furious, and he did exactly what he said he was going to do. He had the wise men killed, but not just the people that were there. I'm telling you, this is pretty wild. Not just the wise men that were there, but all the wise men of Babylon. The king's like, I've had enough. There ain't nobody that can tell me what I need to know. So he had them all put to death, and now he's looking for Daniel and his friends. Let's go to verse 14. And Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out and put to death the wise men of Babylon. Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. What is happening here? Here we see Daniel is in a moment of crisis in his life. He's in a moment of crisis. His back's against the wall. The king is coming for him. The king is about to put him to death. He and his friends, the king is coming for him, and he's in this moment of crisis, and maybe that's you today. Maybe you're in a moment of crisis. Maybe you're here today and you're like, man, I'm in a moment of crisis. My finances are so low. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. Maybe you're here and say, well, my marriage is a wreck. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. I'm not sure what direction I'm supposed to go. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, I don't know the purpose of my life. I don't know what God wants me to do. Maybe that is you today. Maybe you're in the moment of crisis. Maybe your back's against the wall. But what I find amazing about this whole moment, church, is that Daniel didn't seem to be afraid. He was pretty calm. If there was a time to panic, it would be right now. And in my flesh, I would be panicking. What am I going to do? Where am I going to hide? How am I going to get away? But Daniel doesn't do that. All he says is, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Why did the king do this? Church, sometimes we panic. Sometimes we panic in a time of crisis in our life. I've watched many people, we worry about tomorrow, we get so frantic in our life, and we become, our anxiety just goes through the roof, because we're not sure what's going to happen tomorrow. How am I going to do this? How am I going to pay the rent? How am I going to get a job when I know I need a job? How am I going to do that? And we get all crazy sometimes, because we're not sure what to do or where to go. How was Daniel so calm? He seemed to be calm to me. Daniel knew who he served. Church, did you hear what I said? Daniel knew who he served. He knew he served the God who was omniscient. He knew he served the God who was all powerful, who was mighty, who could do all things, who could do the impossible. He knew the God who knew how the world works and how it was formed. He knew all those things. He knew the depths, that God knew the depths and the heights. He knew the heart. He knew the mind. He knows our fears. He knows our problems. He knows our struggles. He knows our trials, our temptations. He knows our desires. And let me tell you, church, it's as wild as I can put it, just as the Word of God puts it. He knows the number of hairs on your head. Church, did you hear what I said? He knows the number of hair on your heads. If you don't think God knows you, He knows every aspect of your life. And Daniel knew that. Daniel knew that he knew all things. So what does Daniel do? He does something I think we look over sometimes, is Daniel asked for more time of the king. And by the grace of God, remember, King Nebuchadnezzar isn't a nice king. He's an evil king. But by the grace of God, the king gives Daniel more time to seek out the Lord. That's amazing to me. It's amazing to me to think that God was still working in all of this. Do you know God can soften the hearts of men? Even a wicked king like King Nebuchadnezzar, God can soften his heart and allow Daniel to have some time to seek out the will of God. And that's exactly what he does. What else does he do? He says Daniel does the best thing when your back is against the wall, when you're in a moment of crisis, when you're not sure what to do, is he prays and he cries out to the living God. It's what he tells his friends. He says he urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of these wise men. He prays and he cries out to the living God. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Amen, church? That is where wisdom and knowledge and understanding comes from. It comes from the very mouth of God. And James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to you. That's a promise from the Word of God. That's a promise from the Word of God, that if you're struggling with uncertainty in your life, you can go to the living God. And if you seek Him and you love Him and you trust in Him, He'll give you the wisdom that you ask for. He'll give you the answers that you ask for. Daniel knew that this was something only God could do. And when your back's against the wall, you have to understand that. This is something only God can do. Maybe that is you today. And Phil, let me tell you, you're starting a church plant, and it's amazing to hear the praise that you had with it was such an amazing thing when you told me that on Sunday. I was so excited to hear about the $2,000. You don't know where it came from. It came from the living God. But you're going to have to ask for wisdom, because you're doing something only God can do. Same thing with every single one of you that are trying to do what God can only do. Daniel knew that this was something only God could do. And wow, church, I wish we would understand this more and more in our life. That only God gives wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And God is the only one who answers prayers. I'll share a story just really quick with you. We have a pastor's lunch the first Tuesday of every month. And I would say 95% of the time, I'm the youngest guy there. It's all a bunch of old people telling their war stories. But it's always good. I like hearing the stories. That's why I really go, is because I'm learning from these old pastors. Not Jimmy included. But I'm learning from them. But I'm one of the pastors, I won't mention his name just in case he doesn't want people to know, is last month in February. This pastor, he really is. He's encouraging all the time, and he's really lighthearted. He jokes around. He doesn't really say a lot of negative things for the most part. And he shared with us an uncertainty he had. He had a doctor's visit coming up, and he had tests to be done. And he was scared that it was going to be cancer, and it was really going to mess things up, right? When you get news like that, that can mess your world up. He was uncertain. So we laid hands on him, and we prayed with him right in there in that IHOP. And he told us this month is that it all came back negative, church. It all came back negative. That's a praise, amen? Praise God. Because God's the one who answers prayers. God's the one who knew all things. He knew that pastor's life more than he knew it himself. Why? Because God made him. God made you. He made me. If there's one person that's going to know us better than ourselves, it's the living God. And I hope you understand that tonight, because there is no one like him. There is no one who can help you in your life. There's no one that can answer prayers like them. And what did this move Daniel to do in verse 19? It says, during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He disposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we have asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. Wow, what an amazing testimony Daniel is having here. What an amazing praise to have, because listen to me, Daniel prayed to God and God answered him. And then what I find even more amazing is that how did Daniel answer God? Is he answered him with praise. He answered him with glory and honor. Why? Because God deserves it when he answers our prayers. He deserves praises. And this should be our attitude. Amen, church. We should offer God our praise and our gratitude, because honestly, that's all you got. That's all you got. Give it freely. Give it willingly. Give it cheerfully, because God deserves it. He's the one that gives wisdom. And there's many times, church, let's be honest with ourselves. There's many times we cry out in prayer, in agony. We cry out in prayer, Lord, desperately, we need your help. And the Lord comes through and he helps us. But then we just go on with our life. We never thank them. We never thanked them. God just did a mighty, mighty thing in your life. And maybe you forgot. Church, we can't forget. We can't forget what God has done in our life. It's the thing that will motivate us to keep living for God. Because it reminds us that it is only God who deserves praise. Just as much as we cry out for answers in our life, we should cry out in gratitude and praise. Just as much as we cry out in prayer, Lord, help me in my life, we should cry out, Lord, oh, thank you for helping my life. Amen, church? What I find, this praise is so amazing to me because it shows the character of God. It shows how great and awesome that he is. It shows that he is the one who deserves praise forever and ever. He's the one who has wisdom and power. They are all his. He's the one that changes times and seasons and disposes kings and reigns. He's the one that's in control, church. He's the one that's in control. He's the one that gives wisdom and knowledge. He's the one that reveals deep the mysteries of everything. He's the one that reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness. For light dwells in him. That's the God you serve. But what I find so amazing about this praise is the very end of it, where he says, I thank and praise you, the God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we have asked of you, and you have made known to us the dream of the king. This is baffling to me, church, because remember, he's not went to the king to confirm it. He hasn't went to the king to say, hey, king, was this the dream? That because Daniel understood something, that when God tells you something, you can trust it. You can have confidence in it. Daniel didn't have to go to the king because he knew. He knew what that God had spoken to him. He knew he could trust in the Lord Almighty. In church, we can rest assured that when God gives us wisdom and knowledge in our life, we can trust it. And that's what I find so amazing about this last piece. Because some of us would say, well, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. Let's go to the king first. Make sure the dream's right. Make sure we didn't miss anything. Then I'll give praise to God. You know, we should be praising God while we're praying for it. Because you know the God that's able. And you know the God that's able to do immeasurably more than whatever you ask. That's what the Word of God says. That God is able, and he's able to do immeasurably more than whatever you ask. When you start to live that way, wow, do you start to see God move every day of your life. When you start to live that way, you start to have testimonies in your life. Amen, church? We've got to trust in him. We've got to trust in him. Let's finish this out. In verse 24 it says, then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him. Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means. Then the king asked Daniel, also called Belshazzar, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. Your dream and the visions that have passed through your mind as you were lying in bed are these. And then he goes on and on, and he tells the king the dream, and he interprets it. Amazing, amazing thing. We're not going to go through all of it because it's a lot. It's a message on its own. But can I tell you that Daniel got it right? Why? Because God got it right. God got it right. And when you trust in God, God always gets it right. He's never gotten it wrong. He's never gotten it wrong. God has always got it right. Daniel goes before the king, and the king asks him, are you able to do it? You said, are you able to do it? And Daniel says something I find so interesting about this. So amazing in verse 27 and 28. What's he say? He says, Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Amen, church? Amen. Is there not the God of heaven who reveals mysteries? See, this was a moment Daniel could have took all the glory for himself. He could have. Daniel had it in his pocket. He knew exactly what the dream was. He knew exactly how to interpret it. He could have said, wow, look at me, king. Look how great I am. I can interpret your dream. I can do all these things. I know all these things. But he didn't do that. What did he do? He gave glory to God. Daniel gave glory to God when, honestly, the world would never give glory to God. You think those magicians, enchanters, and diviners, and the list goes on, would have gave glory to God? No. Why? Because they didn't know who God was. They didn't know who God was. He says, no man can do it, but there is a God in heaven who can. There is the living God who came, the one true living God. Daniel gives glory to the Lord. And Daniel, listen to me, we all have a choice. Every time God answers us, every time God gives us wisdom and knowledge and understanding, you have a choice in your life to give glory to God or not. You should every time give glory to God. Because you're not smart enough. I'm not smart enough to know the things of God. I'm not. But because he's given us the Holy Spirit, because he loves us, God reveals mysteries to us. Paul tells the people that one time the gospel was a mystery, but God revealed it to us. How did he reveal it? Through his son, Jesus Christ. God has been revealing the mystery of himself to us since Genesis. You know, God wants the world to know him. The one who knows all things wants the world to know him. God is speaking with us every day. Don't think he's not. Don't think God is silent. God's never silent. God is speaking with us every single day. You have an opportunity to give God the glory every time that he's spoken to you. Because Daniel lifted up the Lord, God lifted him up. We won't go there, but if you skip to the end of chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar falls on his knees and he gives the God of heaven glory for what he did through Daniel. And let me just encourage us tonight is that God blesses the one who trusts in him. You have an opportunity every single day, every time you wake up to say, I'm going to trust the Lord today. And can I promise you something is that God will bless you because of it. Now, am I going to promise you some of the things we see in here, the gifts and the riches and the glory there in the kingdom? No. But I can promise you riches in heaven. Why? Because the Bible promises it. I'm not promising it because of me. I'm only saying it because that's what the Word of God says. And there are people today, we look out pastors and believers and maybe so-called believers, who knows? God does. That are claiming to know the things of God, but don't know anything. Church, you gotta be in your word. You gotta be in the word that shows us all things. That shows us the things of God. Someone comes to you and say, I heard a word from the Lord. Well, you better be looking in the Word of the Lord to actually see if it is coming from the Word of the Lord. That's important. That is so important. Don't let people speak into your lives that are saying, I've seen the things of God, and they are not in the Word of God. Be careful. Be careful, church. God blesses the one who trusts in him. So trust in the one who knows all things. Amen, church? Maybe you're here today and you're struggling with uncertainty in your life. Maybe you're struggling with uncertainty. You're not sure about how your family's going. Maybe your marriage is in a wreck in your life. Maybe your finances are all over the place. Maybe you've been trying to save money and you can't save money. Maybe you've been trying to get a job and you can't get a job. Maybe you're trying to get a place to stay and you can't get a place to stay. And you're kind of distraught and you're anxious and you're not sure what to do. Maybe you got problems in your life that you're not really for sure how to get over. Maybe you got hurdles in your life. You're not sure how to jump over. Maybe you're here today and you're like, I don't really know what the purpose of my life is. I don't know what the meaning for my life is. I don't know what God wants me to do. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do in the church. Maybe there's a whole list of things that you're uncertain about. Because let me tell you from my own experience, there's lots of things I've been uncertain of, but I will always find it. I will always find it in God. I will always find the knowledge and understanding of the things I'm uncertain of in His will, in God. And today, listen to me, church, if that is you today, listen to me very closely. Today is the day to ask the one who knows. Today is the day to seek out the one who knows all things. To seek out the one who's omniscient. Who knows your past. Who knows you now. And who knows your future. Seek after the one that you can always trust in. Seek out the God of heaven. And seek out the Lord Almighty. Because again, I'll say one last time, God only wants the best for you in your life. Don't ever be afraid to listen to God. Don't ever be afraid to listen for the voice of God in your life. Because He loves you. He cares for you. He does the best for you. Amen, church? I'll ask you one last time. Are you seeking the one who knows? Let's stand, church.